chapter number 9. Hallelujah. Appreciate you that prayed for us in Tennessee this week. Brother Ingram is a great brother, and they were just, it was really a struggle the first few days of that meeting. But after folks prayed, it broke loose, had a glorious meeting. A lot of great things accomplished, and we're in this together. I know it's hard sometimes for us to realize here in these mountains, you know, it's hard to realize that God's church goes beyond the borders of Virginia. Amen. But we're in this together, and we need to pray for one another. I want you to go to the 32nd verse of Matthew 9. We're studying these wonderful gospels that are the life of Christ. Christ really did live. Amen. Not just in history, but he's lived in eternity. Amen. In the beginning, he was there. You know, we had Brother Crane in the camp meeting was teaching on the Trinity, and there's a lady there that had just been converted, just got in church, and she didn't understand, you know, the Trinity, and so she asked him a question. He asked for questions, and she asked the question, you know, and he answered her concerning the Godhead. He'd been made of three persons, three personalities. Amen. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And, you know, Christ, I know when I first got saved, I never read the Bible any. And I knew that Christmas was when Christ was born. And I you know, someone mentioned Christ being there in the beginning. And I said, no, I think he was born at Christmas, you know. But really, in essence, just the human Christ, the human Jesus was born at Christmas. Amen. He was God in the beginning with the Father and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Anybody say amen here? And so I loved studying. Christ was divine. He was deity. He was eternal. And he still is. He lived. He lives right now. And he'll be living forever. He's there ever to make intercession for you. And what Christ ever did do, he can still do. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He can still. Amen. Now, let's read and see what the Lord will do. I want you to pray for me this morning. The Lord will help me. All right. As they went out, this was out of the area, and you know, the blind men had come to Christ and were healed. And they went out, and behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And, of course, this dumb man is not intellectual dumbness, that this man cannot talk. He is, and the reason that he could not talk, it seems like here, is a demon that got in him. Amen. Do you believe in that? Amen. It doesn't matter. You know, this man was possessed of the devil. And because he was possessed of the devil, I got a few things I want to say about this. We're going to study several verses here, Lord willing. Amen. But I want you to notice, number one, I want you to notice that the devil, amen, does make havoc in people's lives. Amen. And you say, this is awful simple. But I want you to understand, do you remember the parable or whatever you call it, where the farmer woke up one day and somebody and his servants came to him and said, somebody has sown tares among the wheat. Now a tare was a weed and a worthless thing, and it, even in the early stages, it according to what I've read, it was kind of similar looking to wheat. But these men that were experts at it, they when they grew up, they realized something's going on here. We sowed wheat in this field, and now there's tares. There's weeds growing up. And he went to the master and said, what do we do about this? Do we pull them up? And he said, no, they've already took root. If you pull them up, you're going to pull the other wheat up with them. Well, the disciples wanted to know, you know, what's this mean? What's this about? And so he went in and he began to explain the different parts of this parable. And how many remembers what he said, who he said sold the tares in the wheat. Anybody remember what he said? He said, an enemy. While men slept, an enemy has done this. Well, the disciples want a little deeper explanation. So the Lord began to tell them who was each. And when he got to that enemy, who did he say that enemy was? Anybody remember? The enemy is the devil. Now, how many knows this morning that'd be a good lesson? Now, here's something we may not understand. You know, life has its difficulties. Just living has its difficulties. Little children are born in this world, and a lot of times they're born with stress and troubles and trial. But there's also an enemy in this world who will inject his influence into lives and make them, amen, miserable and tortured and tormented. That's what had happened to this man right here. He had been born, no doubt, and this man, the devil had came into him. And in the process of coming into him, just to antagonize and torment him, he took his voice. Amen. Now you say, now I know there's a lot of things in the world that are just common problems and sin. How many know sin has its payday if the devil didn't live? The wages of sin is what? Death. Amen. The way of the transgressor is hard. Sin has its own payday in the sense, and then it has all eternity to pay, the judgment of God. Amen. But here we see the devil, amen, injecting himself into the life of a human being. I want to tell you, he can do that, and you say, brother, I don't know if the day we live, you don't ever see anybody devil-possessed in our day anymore. Now, hold on now. I'm telling you, you may not see the devil cast out a whole lot, but brother, the devil is still taking advantage of men and women, boys and girls' lives. Are you listening to me? Now, there's no need of us being fearful of him, because the least little saint of God that knows how to say Jesus' name can rebuke the devil and send him. The Bible said if you'll resist the devil, he will flee from you. Here's the problem, church. Amen. We are now let me try to help us here. Amen. We just take as a verse at a time, and I want us to get this. They brought this dumb man to Jesus. Now look what happened. There was not a whole lot of preliminary going on. They brought him a man, dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. Sweet Lamb of God. Y'all believe in that? I'll tell you, sometimes we come to church and I'm just going to tell you, it ain't the music that's the problem. It ain't the singing that's the problem. It's just the devil's got in here somehow or another. You say, well, I don't, brother, you're making the devil too big. Oh, no. I think sometimes we just overlook him and disregard him. Even in our own lives, you get up and you're agitated and you're thinking bad and you're depressed and oppressed. Hey, mom, you need to just say, devil, this is why I don't remember my mom teaching me bedtime prayers, but I do remember her telling me how to rebuke the devil. And I'll tell you, that comes in handy. Somebody say amen. Amen. I wonder if our church this morning knows, amen, sometimes we ought to just come in here and stop the whole process till we get the devil run out of the place. How many believes that Christ still casts the devil out of life? Bible said Satan comes to kill, to steal, and destroy. And that's what he wants to do when he touches your life. He wants to kill you. Anything alive in you, how many has watched lives and seen this happen right before your eyes? Everything live and lively dies out. Amen. This man, now I want you to notice, when they brought this man dumb, he could not speak. I won't go a lot of it, but when you're in school, when people start calling, and there's a great need for young people's shelter, for young folks in different situations. I'll just be honest with you, most people that call aren't associated greatly with church, and that there's a problem right there. That is the problem, usually. Amen. Don't mean to bore you. I'm going to preach to you a little bit this morning. Amen. Different situations. And you know, there are so many different problems arising that they're having to come up with new names for. How many knows what I'm talking about. And I know this is old, but how many years ago, how many ever heard of a hyperactive child? I never heard the word one time. Now, I was in the class with a bunch of them. I just didn't know what they called. I didn't know that's what they called. Social disorders. I never heard of these things. But I'm going to tell you, Satan has got a horrible stronghold. And how else could he not have it? Amen. When children are left alone, nearly a lot of times they raise themselves. They call them latchkey children. Come home from school and open the door and go in. And a lot of times, not in our homes probably, but in a lot of homes, they go in, there's the wine cabinet and the booze, and there's the widescreen TV and the internet and all anything they want to look at and watch. Now, you tell me that a generation, amen, that is subject to all kinds of filth and violence and wickedness and all antichrist messages, brother, we have a problem with Satan possessing men and women's lives in the day we live. That's right. From the lowest drunk in the gutter to the highest politician on the pinnacle. Amen. Satan has an advantage over our country this morning. I ain't getting a lot of amens, but you know it's true. So what's the remedy? Here's the remedy. What did they do? They brought this man that could not speak. Amen. He had a devil in him, and when he brought him to the Son of God. Now listen, church, you may think it's outdated. It's not necessary. Amen. There's other ways of overcoming, but there is only one remedy for the devil. All right? Let's try this. I don't think I got a lot of money on me, right? Amen. Pull out $100 bills, and the devil approaches you. Throw them at him. Throw $100 bills at him. Huh? I'll tell you what. Go into the closet and wash up and comb your hair and brush your teeth and put your best clothes on. And when the devil comes at you, just put that smile on him. Try to just impress him with your looks. See if that'll run him off. Huh? I know. Set him down and tell him how smart you are. Expound to him, amen, the geometric, amen, formulas, and show him how much you can quote, amen, of history. Just stand there and quote him the Gettysburg Address. See if that runs him off. Oh, you ain't helping me, are you? I know, Sister Mary, amen, cook him a molasses stock cake and see if that'll put him on the run. You can't cook the devil out of your life. There's only one remedy for him. Huh? I said there's only one remedy for the devil. You ain't listening to me now. I'm telling you something that can help you if you'll listen to me. They brought this boy to Jesus. And that's all, Sister Hilary, it don't say anything else. All it says, one verse says, they brought him to Jesus. The next word said, when the devil was cast out of him. Sweet Lamb of God. I'll tell you what, and you may take me wrong here, and I know you're going to, so we might as well go ahead and mark it down. But, brother, there's been times in service when the Holy Ghost has come on me, there's been folks that came right in this church house that need the devil cast out of them. You say, bro, why didn't you do it? Well, there's one problem. Amen. Somebody's got to be willing for him to go. Huh? Hey, even if you cast the devil out of somebody, didn't want him out, you know what's going to happen? You know what's, after it's swept and clean and garnished and the house is clean, the devil's out, you know what's going to happen in a few days when that devil comes back around looking for a place? He's going to whistle for seven more of his buddies and they're going to move in and he's going to be worse the next time than he is the first time. Y'all believe this? Praise God. You're a little quiet on me here this morning, but brother, they brought this boy. He had problem. Now listen, I know the problem in this scripture, it was dumb. He could not speak. There were, and I know there's physical things that happen to people, amen, that cause them. And a lot of times, the devil will come in and do things in people's lives that looks like just a natural happening, but it's not a natural happening. Sometimes we got to make sure that our affliction and the pain we're feeling and the dizziness in our mind and the weakness in our body is not just the devil trying to torment the life out of you. Oh, yeah, you could have picked up a bug. I'm not saying that. You might have got bit with a tick. You may have Rocky Mountain spotted fever. But sometimes the devil just takes advantage of you. Huh? And I'll tell you this right now. Amen. And I know you believe this. And I feel like preaching to somebody this morning. There are some of our lives in here. And probably I could say in one sense, I could say every life here. Amen. The devil will find that weak link in your home, in your life. And he will find that. And he'll move in that. And he'll work with who he can work to torment everybody else. He said, well, how's that? Well, you remember when Jesus and his disciples were going up? He looked around at his disciples and he said, look, I've got to go up to Jerusalem. I've got to die. Peter took a hold of the Lord, said, not so, Lord. You're not going to do it. And he said to him, my dear brother, and I know you've got the Holy Ghost and you're one of, no. He said, get behind me, Satan. Do you believe the devil can use good people? That's why we got to resist him. We got to resist the devil. Amen. And there's ways to resist him. Of course, here's the reason right here. Amen. He let Christ come. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, the devil will put thoughts in your mind. And if you'll take inventory, amen, you're thinking things. When the devil gets to running you, amen, you'll be thinking things that you never thought before. But you'll be saying, now that's my thought. I come up with that. When all it is the devil's work and the devil's thought and you're doing his deed. Buddy, I don't want the devil to use me, do you? Huh? He brought this boy to Jesus, and that was the end of it. And you know what happened? When the devil was cast out of him? Now, brother, we've heard a lot of stuff, and I know, brother, lately, I mean, in the last year or so, I've had preachers, friends of mine that say they were in youth camps or this and that, and some young person come in, and, you know, drugs is one avenue for the devil to work on. You know, you take somebody that takes drugs all the time, depending on that, and it weakens their constitution, their strength, and their ability, and the devil can ride right in on that drug addiction, alcoholism, and perversion of illicit things. The devil rides in on that, and it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse until he's got people to where they can't even. They can't utter, and in a sense, they can't say hallelujah. You ever see anybody couldn't tell the truth if their life depended on it? The old saying was, he'll climb up a tree to tell a lie when he could just stand on the ground and tell the truth. Huh? You know what causes that? It is the spirit. Now, I'm not trying to spook you here this morning. And my little girl, I got to watch how around her, she listens to her, and she gets spooky, you know. She gets fearful. But I'm telling you, a child of God ought to not be afraid of the devil. I didn't hear a lot of, huh? You say, well, brother, he'll get you. Well, if he could have, he would have. He'd have you right now by the hair of the head if he could do it. He can't do it. He can't cross the authority. When they brought him in the Son of God, I can just hear that devil, hey, I don't want to go in there. You're going in here. No, don't take me in there. Hey, you're going in here. And you know how the devil cried out when the Lord came around? Lord, please don't. And begin to beg to the Lord. They know who he is. I'm going to tell you. Now, I don't want to paint a darker picture than what we've got. But, brother, we have a society that the devil is having his way with. And even in church sometimes. Now, when you take... And I got to hurry. I know I'm not going to. Let me go on. I was wanting to get a few verses in here. Look at this right here. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And look what happened. I wonder what he said. I wonder what this man spake. I don't know how long it had been since he'd been able to say anything. Huh? Now, it wasn't like, and you know, it's a little humorous, but they used to tell me about an old boy that wouldn't speak until one day his mother burnt the bread, and he said, these biscuits are terrible. I said, man, you spoke. You haven't been able to speak. He said, well, everything went okay up to now. Huh? I don't believe that's the way this boy was. I don't know where it was at. He lost his voice, but he got his voice back. And I'll tell you what, it's time the church got their voice back. It's time this world got, hey, the devil has stolen America's voice. That, you know, it has got so warped and twisted around that even in our, you know, our people aren't even allowed to stand in public places and say, "Praise the Lord Jesus Christ that saved my soul." Huh? They've got down to where all religions are the same. You know, Christianity, you know, they're trying to water it down, put more water in the soup, till after a while it don't even taste like soup at all. They're wanting to say, Muslim, how many knows, amen, that Muslim religion is a false idolatry religion? Christ is not even regarded as the Son of God. Muhammad is their prophet. How many knows that God warned us against just like that? But you know how many knows what the fastest growing religion in the world is? Huh? Amen. And you know, they're the type of religion, if you're in their country, if I this morning was in Saudi Arabia and would stand out on the street and say this, what do you think that happened to the old? Don't be wishing nothing on me now. Huh? If y'all start wanting to send me to Saudi Arabia for vacation, I'm going to know what's up. You know how many times I'd get to do this before I'd make headlines? About one time if I got caught, and it would be. It's a violent religion. Now, how many people do you know that love the Lord, but if they was under the, they wouldn't say nothing? But I'll tell you, it's time the church, and I know this is not very good, but it's time the church got their voice back. Amen. The devil would love to silence you. Amen. Because God loves the praise, amen, from the voice of a child of God. He says, go and tell them whatsoever things I have taught you. Amen. I want you to have a voice. The church or the living God this morning needs to get their voice back. Somebody say amen. Here we go. We're about done. But listen to this. And the multitudes marveled. When they saw this happen, they saw the devil come out of this man, and they heard this man speak. They marveled and said, we ain't never had it like this. Not in all of Israel. We've not had it like this. Amen. God help me this morning. I'll tell you the revival I'm praying for. I tell you the revival I'm praying for. It is a revival where, amen, where we don't just sit in our comfort zone and let the world go to hell, and we maintain our position with God. That is not the revival I'm looking for. I'm looking for a revival where God, amen, Christ sets people free, that gets their voice back, and then the whole world marvels as they look upon them and say, hey, we have not seen this since we've been here. We've never seen it on this fashion before. But I want you to notice, We're going to move on to another verse. Listen to this. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of devils. Now, brother, these Pharisees were so wicked. And they seemed so righteous. Everybody had the opinion that they were the big religious G's in that country. Because they had their law and they interpreted, and they told folks the rules, and they stood in the door. They wouldn't go in themselves. They wouldn't allow others to come in, but they were the hierarchy of the day. And when they saw Jesus working, brother, now listen, what would cause someone, after seeing such a thing as this go on, what is it caused them, amen, to say, I'll tell you how he cast the devil out, amen, and it doesn't go into the discourse here in this verse, but it does in other gospels. But how many remembers what Jesus said unto them? Amen. They said he's Beelzebub. That was the chief devil. He's full of the devil's the reason he's doing it. Amen. They did not want to accept, amen, that he was the Son of God with power to cast out devils and to give men their voices back. And so they said he's casting them out by the power of the devil. And Jesus said, how can a house divided against itself stand? His common reasoning idea is, I'm not the devil. How could the devil cast out? Why would he cast out the devil? Amen. And we understand that simply. But when you're so bound, as those Pharisees were, with selfish self-righteousness, amen, and arrogance, and being lost, Jesus told him, said, you're like a sepulcher, all white on the outside and full of dead men bones inside. Hey, man, I don't want to be a Pharisee to you. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Hey, man, I want the Lord to help us. Listen to this right here. And so then Jesus went about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues. That was the Jewish synagogues, like churches in general areas, like kind of like, in some sense, I guess, like we have today. You know, like these little mountain holler churches we've preached in ever since. I took a preacher here one day, and so I said, I'm going to take you the back way. I was going over to visit, I believe, over at Hell Creek, and Sister Linda, I just took them to Hell Creek Church where I preached some of my first preaching. You probably, you don't remember that, do you? Oh, Lord. You haven't said anything about it, so I appreciate that. I wasn't doing too good, but I preached over there, and I went by Hell Creek Church. I pointed that evangelist. I said, right here is one of my first sermons. I preached right up here in this little church on the side of the hill, propped up there on the side of the hill. Amen. And then I went and visited and turned around, went back, and I went across up Loggy Bottom, pointed over in the holler, preached over here, and preached revivals here many, many years ago. And then I went on up Chicken Ridge, Brown Ridge. I showed him all them churches setting up. And he said, why in the world would people build a church out in here? And I said, well, brother, when these churches were built, they were people in here and had nowhere else to go. They didn't have a car. Most of them didn't have a car. How many remembers them days? Brother Mike was singing this morning, we'll never grow old. I want to say it's too late. Huh? We already got there, but we're going to a land where we ain't going to get old. Ain't that right? But how many remembers those days, Sister Helen, when people wanted to go to church? And so, amen, here they had these synagogues in their towns. Every town had a synagogue. And Jesus went in them places. I'm going to quit here in a minute. Amen. But Jesus went in those places, and he preached and taught them the eternal word of God. Hey, listen. Amen. If the Son of God felt like doing this, we can't discredit it in this hour. We've got a good crowd comes here. We don't have what we need. We got a few empty seats. We probably got 120 today or something. 127. Really, church, preaching the truth. And as many good people as we got here, amen, as many experiences as we've got in this church, amen, we need to get another 100 folks in here real quick. I'm telling you, that's what we ought to be doing. Praise God. But I'm glad but a lot of churches, amen, folk, they don't go to church. A lot of churches are closing the door. Thousands of them are being shut down every week, amen. But I'll tell you what, amen, if we're going to come out of this, Christ, amen, it was his habit and custom to go to these churches and preach and teach the gospel. Now I'm going to quit right here, but listen. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He healed every sickness and every disease among the people. I got to read one more because I want to leave you with this. It's touched my heart. But when he saw the multitudes, now I assume, looking at this, he'd go to church and he'd heal their sick when they come to church, Brother Mike. But when he'd go out the church door, he'd see the multitude couldn't get in the synagogue. He'd see the multitude out on the hill and out in the towns and out in the streets. And here's what the Son of God, when he saw all the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Well, I'm going to preach on that next Sunday, Lord willing. Yes. What about it? Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. What about it? What about that? What about it? about that? Isn't that something? You know why? You know why they call that the good old days? It don't seem good because having church in a tent with an old potbelly stove and no ride. What's good about that? I'll tell you what's good about the good old days. People love God, and they were willing to sacrifice to gather together and have church. Amen. Let's stand. God bless you. Appreciate you.